Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
I mean, in Tom Compton's world, we're all ready. He said,
gotta be 15 minutes early. I'm the only one that early.
15 minutes early. That's how Tom Compton ran that ship. Gentlemen. Welcome to another amazing edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I see JQ rocking the FAMU, if you will. What's up? Representing
HBCU.
The HBCUs, as we always. And, we missed a time to talk
make it
about
to
what
celebration
I was in
Jacksonville, bowl, man.
Shit.
We're trying to get on.
Oh, okay. We hear you, but we don't see you. So everyone else is on, but you guys, as always. But when I say as always, we're always representing. We're always on. So I guess we'll get you guys settled, we'll get you guys in. And again, we missed you guys last week. I know I was extremely tired, so the show was missing. We feel like we got some missing players, if you will. But we are back in full force, and we can't wait to kind of wrap up this. We got one more show to the end of the year, but kind of wrapping up December, if you will, and we're getting ready for the holidays and all that fun stuff and bowl games and, you know, Christmas time and holidays and Festivus and all that fun stuff, too. So let's get right into it, gentlemen. Curtis and Gary, I don't know if you guys need the – okay, there they are. They're jumping in right now. So we're going to start with JQ. Check in, as always. How you feeling, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm sorry about last week. I had some crazy stuff happening with work, so I had to jump off, but got that resolved and feeling pretty good. My Bengals got a big win against those Broncos, and, ready to do what they do. Three games left. So if you just told me before this year started, we won 8 games, I would take it. So let's go with the playoff push. Let's see what we got.
Now you got a chance to win more than 8.
Hey,
there it is.
I would have taken 8 games. I would have taken it for sure.
Nice. There it is. Yeah. Playing with house money now, in the words of JQ. I love it. We're getting Curtis
house
and Gary
money.
Settled. As Curtis and Gary get settled, we're going to check in with them in a quick second. Rob, how you feeling, sir?
And doing great. Ready to get this party started. I know my Saints are an average football team, but it's always great to beat the Bucks. And not only did we beat them, we shut the asses
shut
out.
Shut them out.
cost me some money.
Joy.
It's all good.
there's something joyous.
The defense was physical with them, too.
Yeah.
I know. And that's a perfect segue to Curtis and Gary. Bud?
I was going to say the highest scoring offense in the NFL. Right out. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, they may not be going to the Super Bowl.
I know that's what don't talk about Gary's favorite team like that.
Oh, here we go.
But they got beat up in that game. I mean, they just lost Chris Godwin for the season. Now it looks like Leonard Fournette is out for the season.
Leonard Fournette's
possibly
out.
Possibly Levante David out for the season. Look like they're going to get Mike Evans back. Never root for injuries, obviously, but, you know, they did come out of that game pretty beat up the other night.
Very beat up.
You do want it to kind of be fair. Like I said, they're going to try to do everything in their power to make sure that Tom Brady keeps getting those records. But Curtis and Gary, how are you guys feeling this evening, sir? Let's check in with you guys on the West Coast, if you will.
Curtis,
missed you guys
you
last
feeling?
Week for sure, but, yeah.
I'm feeling really good. I'm having fun with football. I'm having fun with being around. Yay,
there it
yay,
is.
Yay.
Doing good. We're doing good. We're ready to talk to sports. Missed you guys.
Good. Well, like I said, we can't wait to kick us off. I know we're going to talk about our Merry Christmases and what we're thankful for, all that fun stuff, too. As always, let's fill out the numbers really quickly to call in. The same as always, the same, the 424-243-9519. Follow us, as the kids say, on the Twitter. We're at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we are on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th man, or if you put in 12th man sports, you will find us as well. Rob has posted some awesome stuff as far as some good things as far as updated draft, NFL draft prospect, draft prospects, if you will. And we're going to keep this party going. That's what's up. So, gentlemen, I know we're kind of moving cautiously with what's happening in the state of the world here. Obviously, it feels like we got a little too excited, and you know, we kind of have to pull back as far as things happening with COVID, if you will. And it's had some interesting impact on the sports world, and I know not only just sports but also life. And again, we don't want to go back to what happened in 2020 because we had those, you know, some certain things sort of happening, and you know, obviously things were shut down. And I guess the question is, as we're trying to navigate everything, and we're going to talk about some shifts as far as what's happening with the NBA and Christmas and whatnot. And it's kind of hitting a lot of different situations too. So let's talk about this. Is this the new normal? And we'll kick it off with Rob, JQ, and kind of go back around the room to Curtis and Gary too. So Rob, what's your thoughts on this, sir?
Well, yeah, unfortunately it is our new normal for the time being, for the foreseeable future, right? I mean, you see it's just a rock in the sports world here the last couple of weeks when you look at what's happening with the NFL. And we actually had two Tuesday night football games tonight, right? And then when you look at the NBA and the postponement, and the NHL has actually postponed their season at least for
a week or so right now, right?
Until after Christmas. And then there's also rocking college basketball as well. And I guess college football is kind of helping with being somewhat on a pause with bowl season. But when you talk about the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, college basketball, all have had some effect here over the last week and a half or so with some postponements. The good news is, you know, looking at the studies here with Omicron, close to 80% of these, close to the United States, 80% positive cases here the last couple of weeks have been the Omicron virus, which doesn't seem to have a significant impact over the as far as health-wise over the previous variants, right? So in most cases now, there's some studies that saying the CDC may even change their if you get tested positive with the Omicron, you really only have to isolate for like 5 days instead of 10. So there may be some changes coming out there with this soon, because in most cases, especially if you're vaccinated, they're very, very mild. So that's the only good news, that hopefully we maybe, you know, some of these variants is not as bad as some of the initial variants. So hopefully – Hopefully, knock on wood here, that we can start getting back to some form of normalcy here as we, you know,
That's
continue
right.
to move on into 2022.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's long term, but I think it's short term right now. Like you said, luckily, I feel like part of it's because we've been diligent, as at least half of the nation, a little more than half the nation, getting vaccinated. It's kind of knocked it down, so it's not as bad. But, and you talk about the NHL, they pulled out the Olympics. So not only is the NHL paused their season, they have pulled out the Olympics coming up here in February in 2022. So it's still a thing we have to deal with. I don't think it's necessarily going to go away anytime soon. It's just wild to watch what the different leagues do. The NFL has laxed some of their testing policies, where the NBA has gotten more strict. So it's crazy how the different leagues are going about it. Well, I think a part of that is because the Omicron virus variant is not as heavy as the two before it. But if people would be cool and get vaccinated, no matter how you feel about it, if you get vaccinated, we can get past it. But, you know, that's another conversation for a different day. So hopefully, you know, the different strands have a lessened effect on the body, and we can get a little bit further past it. But I agree with you, Robert. I think for the next year, we're still going to have to deal with this. And it's going to be a whole lot of cancellations, postponements, canceled schedules. It's just crazy how life has changed in the past couple of years.
Yep. Get your shots.
Well,
get boosted.
The thing I would say about that is, you know, that's, I think it's what you guys have both alluded to, is that it's more short term, and that's, you know, that's a real positive spin on it. On the flip side of that, you know, it might not be. I mean, even your hardest core, you know, Trump supporters, and I'm getting into politics right now, but I'm going to, because he had a rally with Bill O'Reilly, and Bill O'Reilly and Trump both said that they got the booster shot, and even those two guys were booed at their own rally. So that's how you know, against these vaccination, these anti-vaxxers are against this, is they're willing to boo the leader, they feel the leader of their cause and of their party in Trump. So that really surprised me. I thought it would be the other way around. I didn't think Trump would admit that he had it. And then if he did admit that he had it, I figured that it would probably, you know, sway some people. But no, they got booed just like if it were Biden in that room, I guess, you know. I don't know if you guys saw that, but that shocked me.
Yeah.
So I'm
that's
that
what cracks
really
me up about these
me.
Republican supporters is that the Republican leaders are vaccinated, but for some reason the supporters don't want to get vaccinated. I'm like, it doesn't make any sense to me at all. We touched on the positive with the Omicron, but the negative with the Omicron is that it's probably more contagious than some of the previous variants. So, and that's why you're seeing a lot more positive cases. So that's the negative with the Omicron, is that it's about 35 to 40% more contagious than the previous strains. But it's not as, you know, we're not seeing as many hospitalizations and, of course, deaths. And it doesn't seem to be as bad, you know, if you do get it. Obviously, we don't want to get it, obviously, but it doesn't seem, you know, that big of an effect on the body as some of the previous strains.
I'm just glad that everybody on this broadcast are supportive of the vaccine. And I think we're on the right side of the issue. And, I mean, we live in a country that we have the freedoms we have. And I hate to say this, but you got the freedom to be a dumbass. And if you choose to be that, good on you.
Yeah.
There was a Trevor Noah has a lot of good skits, and one of the skits was, I guess, he would echo what you had talked about, Gary, because he was going to a rally, a Trump rally. It was hilarious because he was kind of like, you know, Trump has new rules as far as what they're planning on doing. And it's kind of echoing, again, that and what Curtis talked about, freedom. And he was like, so you're cool with, you know, basically the freedom of religion. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if they practice, you know, Christianity, yes. You know, they practice Judaism, yes. Islam, absolutely not. it was like blowing your mind, because you're basically saying you're free to do this, but, you know, it's not what you want. So it's just crazy what happens at certain rallies, if you will. So it's just, you know, we got a lot of work to do for sure, you know. But that was a funny, I mean, they're like, freedom, yeah, we're free country, absolutely. Freedom, practice, religion, absolutely. Christianity, yes. Judaism, yes. Islam, absolutely not. It was like, bruh, that doesn't make any sense, man. So it was kind of crazy. But we'll keep going here. And not to mean to kind of take that little trail, I can bring the train back on the tracks, if you will. Let's talk about the Browns, if you will. I know this is something that it's an interesting topic to see JQ talk about this. But can the Browns kind of save their season, if you will, is the question here. So I can't believe we're giving them to Curtis to shake and said no. What say you, JQ?
I mean, in theory, they can. I don't want them to, but if you look at it, I mean, you've got all those teams bottom jammed at 8-6 Like, you're only talking about a week, maybe to 2 weeks where things go from this to this, right? You're talking about the Bengals were sitting in the fourth seed as the AFC North leaders. If the Browns had won that game against the Raiders, they would have leapfrogged the Bengals, and the Bengals would have fallen back down to the AC. So you're talking about just that kind of volatility from a division leader to being outside of the playoffs. So you can't say that they can't save their season just because of the way the records are right now. And the Raiders should be ashamed. And I told y'all on text, the Raiders should be absolutely ashamed that came down to a last-second field goal with whoever his first name is, Mullins, but still – what are you doing, Vegas, as a team?
Nick
How are
Mullins.
You even in that position? Nick Mullins, why are you even in that position? But that's where the AFC is right now. Like, you got the Chiefs that have kind of separated a little bit, but everybody else is 9-4 to, 7-7, so to speak. You know, and it's just right there, 10-4 to 7-7. So it's wild how the AFC is, where the NFC feels real top-heavy, and you have, like, a crazy number of teams at the bottom in the NFC. The AFC outside of the Chiefs is really like a game, the two games separated. So you can't say the Browns can't save their season. I believe they have the Steelers and the Ravens, and there's one other team, I forget who they have, left on that schedule that's still in the mix. So, I mean, if they win out, if Baker Mayfield comes back and Chubb stays healthy and they get Kareem Hunt back and they get Jarvis Landry back, can they save their season? They can. Do I think they save their season? No, but they can. Like, the AFC is really wide open, and this is what the NFL wants.
It is.
Parity, week to week, everybody tuning in. So, I was, as much as I hate to say it, the Browns can absolutely still save their season.
Car sucks. That's funny. JQ's thinking back and forth.
he sucks, bro. He's terrible.
He was like, he should have won the game in spite of that. Man, he got bailed out. Oh, that was hilarious. Go ahead, Rob. JQ was cracking me up.
Yeah, I somewhat agree.
True. It's true.
Can they save the season? Yes. I don't think they will, though. Yeah, even with the talent on their roster, I mean, if the Browns have the entire team, obviously they were had a lot of players out due to COVID on last night. I mean, if they have everybody, they're still a very talented team, so they're still capable. But when you look at their schedule, at Green Bay this Saturday, I mean, I don't see them winning that. And then they turn around and go at Pittsburgh. That's not going to be easy. And then they're at home against Cincinnati. That's not going to be easy. So, I look at these last three games, maybe they win one at the most and finish the season 8-9. That's not going to get them in the playoffs. So I'm going to say they potentially can, but I'm going to say they won't. They will not save their season. They will not make the playoffs, especially when we look at their schedule here in the last three games. I think it's going to be really tough for them. Baker Mayfield is inconsistent. You know, the talent is there on their roster. I just when you look at the schedule, it's just not going to work out in their favor, in my opinion.
They have to answer the question, how did they get nothing for OBJ? And they had OBJ there for 3 years, and they couldn't work him into anything. And then he goes to the Rams, and in one half hour, OBJ is a superstar again. The Browns have to answer that question. I heard that today on talk radio on TV. Somebody pointed that out. They could never get OBJ figured out in Cleveland. But he goes to the Rams, and it seems that they got that figured out right away. What happened?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, depending on the health of the other teams, they're not going to beat Green Bay.
Correct.
But they could win. They could win two of those three games. You know, it's just going to depend on, you know, if they can get back to what they were doing early on, and if they can be healthy enough to do it. Because if they're healthy enough. Well, they're a pretty solid, pretty complete team when they're all there. So
that's some talent.
So
they're
I
really
can see them.
That's the challenge.
I could see them winning two out of the three games. That's on the optimistic side, but I could see that.
Yeah,
they're talented. Good, Jakey. Very talented.
No, I was going to play because I know that one of those two is against Cincinnati, but the Bengals have not beat Baker Mayfield yet. So you have to, if you're the Browns fan playing at home, you have to feel good about that being your last game. I mean, I have to own that. Until they beat Baker, you can't assume the Bengals are going to beat them. So you're right. I feel like Green Bay wins that game, but nothing inspires me about Pittsburgh that they're going to just go in there and be able to knock Cleveland out like that. So those last two games, to me, for Cleveland, it's up for grabs. But I'm with you. I feel like that Green Bay game is a loss.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all in agreement about the Green Bay game. Yeah, that's definitely something they're going to lose on that one. But like you said, just, you know, you nailed it as far as, you know, just seeing what's happening with I don't know, the Bengals. I don't think that the Browns just had the number, but just they have to kind of, again, it's the same thing we talked about with Georgia and Alabama. So they beat them, you know, you got to see what's going to happen with
until
that. Sure.
Until you see it, you can't bet on it.
You can't say anything. Yeah, so good stuff. Hey, we're going to recap the games versus Monday night here, if you will. Rob, if you want to talk about, you know, the Raiders and the Browns again, you can't. But to JQ.
No, we can skip that one. I think we can talk about that.
We can talk about the Bears and the Vikings is the next one, too. Kind of recap that, if you will, too. And then it's crazy, again, football. Again, as a person that loves football, I love Tuesday night. But, again, if you're the player, it's not really good because, you know, maybe that quick turnaround or what's happening with your body, that's not a good scenario, too. But we could talk about the Bears and the Vikings, Bill Rob. So go ahead with that, sir.
Yeah, when you look at, you know, you talk about the Tuesday night game going into this weekend. You look at a team like the Philadelphia Eagles battling for a playoff spot 7-7, even though they're playing the Giants this weekend, who a team is just, you know, headed in the wrong direction, right? Still, the Eagles got to turn around in a short week and play a pivotal game for them in the middle of a playoff run. And, you know, the same for the Rams and the same for the Washington football team. So those teams are all still in the playoff mix, right? And they got to turn around and play a game on a short week. That's going to be challenging regardless of the opponent for them. But back to the Bears and the Vikings last night. I mean, that game just really came to the Bears just offense. It's about as bad as the Saints offense, right? I mean, it's just putrid. I mean, they just couldn't get first downs. They couldn't complete passes. They were able to complete passes in the backfield to the running back, Montgomery, but they couldn't complete passes down the field. I mean, they got the late touchdown in the game, pretty much garbage time. Kirk Cousins got a couple of touchdown passes in the game, Justin Jefferson. And Cousins quietly having a very good season. I think he's got 29 touchdowns. And I think only 5 or 6 INTs. Quietly having a very good season for Kirk Cousins. But basically that's what it came down to. The Bears' defense I thought was really good. Hicks was outstanding for the Bears on the defensive side of the ball last night. He was phenomenal. Uh-huh. And the Vikings were putting – even though Justin Fields had some nice runs in the game, they were putting a lot of pressure on him in that game too. So the heat was on him throughout of that game. And one play, he did a little spin move and thought he was going to get away from the defender, and there was another guy that just was right there to crush him. Seemed like he lost about 20 yards on the play. They were all over him last night, and you got to give Zimmer, who's one of the better defensive minds in the NFL, did a phenomenal job calling that game last night. So you just got to give the Vikings credit. They did what they were supposed to do. But really, that's just a Bears team that just can't do anything offensively right now.
Well, if you look at the stats, the Bears moved the ball between the 20s up and down the field on the Vikings in that game. I believe they had three they went for a fourth down in the red zone and didn't get it, two turnovers. Like, the Bears just shot themselves in the foot. They could have really won that game last night. Nagy's so fired. I just don't even know. Does he already have boxes? Like, does he have boxes already in his office just to go ahead and put the stuff in? Because that's ridiculous. I want to say at one point they were like 2-1 yards over the Vikings in that game. The Bears defense came to play last night. And the Bears offense moved the ball from 20-20. But when they got in the red zone, they couldn't capitalize. And that was the difference in that game, that they just couldn't score in the red zone. They kept shooting themselves in the foot. And you have the penalties where they're getting the fights and Nagy's cussing out the official and he get a flag. And the Bears just are a dumpster fire, bro. I just don't know. Like, just go ahead, put them in the boxes, fill it up. It's time to move on from Nagy and the GM. They just don't have it. And you saw glimpses from Justin Fields last night. But part of that is on him, turning the ball over with the fumble and the sack and the interception. This is not Ohio State versus Purdue, bro. Like, this is the NFL. Part of that is on him, and I won't absolve him from that. But I watched that game, and I was like, how do they not have any points? They are going down the field on that, but when push comes to shove, shove wins. So you got to give Minnesota credit for, you know, being able to bend but not break. But Chicago had a whole lot of opportunities to win that game. They just didn't come through.
You can definitely look at that penalty stat and turnover stat. And Nagy, the request I have, he's done. And I don't see him getting another NFL job. I don't. The Bears is too bad. That's a good football team. You know, they deserve a lot better than what they got going. And I'm a fan of Justin Fields. But that offensive line, that might be their first issue. Offensive line and a real running back. A guy that got that back there running. I hear a lot about him, but I don't see nothing from him. Well, mm-hmm. I don't see it.
He's a good back. Well, like you said, they don't have an offensive line.
I think you guys said it all. That was just two mediocre teams playing a sub-mediocre
yeah.
game. I mean, that's just that's it.
You're right.
That's what you saw.
You're right.
Yeah, if you saw that. But, you know, it's interesting. We talk about this is a good transition because, you know, Kurt has talked about that Nagy may not coach again. But some coaches are better coordinators, I think, than head coaches. You know, and as I make a nice, smooth transition, you can talk about what's happening with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Dan Quinn, defense is doing well. We're going to talk about you guys, Curtis, but is the offense, should they be concerned? But right now, defense is playing extremely well. And, you know, it just seems like, again, there's a couple of coaches that kind of need another place. You know, same thing, maybe if you're Matt Nagy, you're kind of concerned too much with being the head man. You don't really know how to delegate. You're probably better as an offensive coordinator, if you will. So maybe he'll find a job maybe in that capacity. But, you know, again, what say you, you know, Curtis and Gary, about the way Dallas has been playing? The defense has been really, really showing up. And now it seems like there's some challenges with the offense. So I'll let you guys talk about that, what's happening with the Cowboys, if you will.
Okay. Well, the first thing I would say is offensive line. You know, you have to have offensive line and injuries to your running back. You know, Dallas is a run-first, typically a run-first team, or at least play action. And, you know, with that said, you know, you put in, you know, Connor Williams into the offensive line, and they ran behind him seven times for 6.5 yards a carry. That's a far cry, you know, from what they did in the previous few games. So he's a better run. He's a good run blocker, and that's really what they needed to, you know, to keep the clock moving and get first downs. You know, and the big thing with the Cowboys is run. Run the ball. And if you've got a good line that's a good run blocking personnel in there, that's what you want on the that's what I want on the Cowboys team, because everything is set up, you know, through that play action or handing off to Zeke or Pollard. Now, with that said, with the defense, on the defensive side of the ball, Dan Quinn, when he's shined the most is when he's had, you know, a couple of real all-stars on the defensive side of the ball. When he's had just a couple that he can move around and take a guy out with a, you know, like what he did in Seattle and here, and, you know, and what he's doing here, you know. And then, you know, Micah Parsons is just flat out stud. That's probably the best pick in the draft right there, is what we're looking at, because he could very well be, You know, he's going to be rookie of the year, and I believe he could also end up with a, you know, defensive player of the year if he keeps playing the way he's playing. He is just one of those guys, and I'm so glad we picked him up. But it's those two things that are really going to –
Yeah,
well, you want that solid
defense. Got Trayvon Diggs
and
on the team with 10 INTs.
Because what are the two things in the playoffs
yeah.
that really, you know, are those teams, you know, that keep the ball away from those explosive offenses, right? Run the ball and have a defense that can stop these guys or slow them down. That's what you want. As far as Dak goes – I'm fine with it. I think he'll be okay. I think that, you know, he had his, you know, his two main receivers out at different times and with the offensive line stuff. He's a guy, he is one of those quarterbacks. Russell Wilson has done a lot over his career with a lot less. Dak's not that type of a quarterback. Dak has to have players around him and the system around him. And with that, or with all those pieces in play, he can be a top six or seven quarterback, in my opinion, in this league. The top five guys, well, okay, you say 10. The top five guys, they don't need as much. But with his ability to, you know, move around the pocket and run the ball himself if he has to, I'm okay with where they're at.
I was going to say, the stats show it. When the Dallas runs over 100 yards, they're 7-1. When yeah. they don't, they're 1-3.
Yeah.
So, like they say at the Colts, run the ball, damn it. Run the ball, damn it. And the defense and Parsons is the real deal, and our defense is getting better and better, and they're getting talked about. That's a good thing in doubt. They're
right.
the number two seed as of now. Wow. If they can stay there, they're going to be in good shape.
I tell you what.
Yeah,
their
defense travels in the playoffs, too.
They did. Yep. Y'all some lucky bastards because we talked all about it, and y'all was all about getting the cornerback, and they moved in front of you and took
That's
both your quarterbacks, and you took Michael Parsons, and I give him credit for sticking with Michael Parsons, and he turned out to be a stud. I've seen Michael Parsons play Ohio State and in the Big Ten, so I knew how good Michael Parsons was. I don't know if he was going to be that good in the NFL his first year, but I knew he was a stud. But the problem I have with the Cowboys, And we're not necessarily talking about, you paid Dak Prescott a lot of money. And I don't think he's healthy. Whatever's happened since that calf injury, he's not hitting on all cylinders. And when you get to the playoffs and teams know that and they load that box and they have one or two or maybe three decent cornerbacks, I worry about him. His mobility to me is not the same for one. His accuracy for two is not the same. He started off like this and he got that calf injury and he came back and he's not been the same quarterback. And I don't know if they're downplaying what has happened to that calf, but if I was a Cowboys fan, I'd be a little concerned. I'd be ecstatic about my defense. Don't get me wrong. The Cowboys defense has been playing phenomenal. But Pollard with a partially torn plantar fasciitis, and I don't know if Zeke is trying to work himself way back into shape. If not knee injury, I feel like I can get back. When you start playing those upper echelon teams in the playoffs, Dak is going to have to be the difference maker in some of those games. And you're paying him to be a difference maker in those games. And I don't see that from him. That looks good against the Giants. The Giants suck. So when you start playing a good team in the playoffs, I worry about him and what he has happening right now. That's the only thing. Outside of that, Dallas is playing good ball. But when you start
right.
talking about playing other alpha teams in the playoffs, Dak has got to put it back into high gear.
I agree with
that.
The teams that have beaten them have what they've done is they've rushed four and they've left everybody else back, two high safeties. And that's caused the Cowboys issues. Now,
yep.
let's see if they can work
that's
through
all
like
that. Kansas City.
Can't
yeah.
do with Kansas City. Yep, keep everything in front of them. Yep, you ain't beating
yeah.
them deep.
they kind of figured out what's going to happen when they stack the box.
When the in previous years and even early this season, Dak was the best against the rush, against the blitz in the NFL. Once they realized that, they brought everybody back, and now that's what teams have to do. Is once you find something that works, now teams have to adjust. This is the time when the Cowboys have to adjust, and I don't put it all on Dak, and I don't put it all on the offensive line. I think it's a collection of offensive line injuries and also play calling with Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore. Yeah.
So
it's the same problem Kansas City has. When you have all those weapons, team says, okay, if you got a good offensive line, I can't rush you because they pick it up and you hit us over the top. So what we're going to do, like you said, is rush four, maybe spy, maybe send with a fifth player every now and again. We're going to keep everything umbrella and keep it in front of us. It's the same issue that Kansas City has. When you don't remain patient with the run, with the check down, with underneath, you try to hit it, you end up in third and 10, you end up punting, the defense says, we got you. So it's
yeah,
the E-line. It's very similar.
Yeah.
I love the fact, Gary, that you went on a couple of things, too, talking about certain quarterbacks, and Russell Wilson's been doing less is more. And you can tell these are, like, the top quarterbacks, right? You know, if you look at situations, you know, it's kind of finally catching up to them, obviously. But you can see, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you're like, man, when is he ever going to get a first-round damn wide receiver, right? He still keeps putting up numbers, you know, so he's doing it, all the time. So it just kind of shows different certain quarterbacks need this. And, you know, like you talked about, you know, we're not basically crapping on Dak Prescott because you can have a great quarterback like Patrick Mahomes and still some situations too. Yeah, you know, we're not doing that, obviously. We're saying that there's a couple of issues that are happening with that too. So it's just kind of like the trifecta as far as this begets that, and then everything is kind of like the whole thing. You know, you can't really run the ball because of injuries to the offensive line. Then Dak is not really kind of healthy. Then you got defense like, we're going to basically sit back, you know, and figure out what's going to happen because we've been able to get by because our offensive line isn't healthy. So it's kind of like the perfect storm. Then Kellen Moore's trying to figure out, well, what do I run? Do I pass? I don't know what the hell to do, you know. So, but defense is playing lights out. So, you know, that problem is solved. You know, but it's just kind of.
And Kellen Moore's also auditioning for jobs.
That's true, too. He may be distracted as well. He may not be focused on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But good call. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I think you all pretty much touched on it already. I think there's some positives from what you've seen out of them, and there's some negatives, right? I think the Tony Pollard injury is really huge because he was a great change of pace back for the Cowboys, right? To me, he was their home run hitter out of backfield, not Zeke Elliott. As far as catching the ball out of the backfield, he was a big piece of that offense. And not having him healthy, to me, is going to be it's going to be really huge for them. They need to hopefully be able to get him back by the playoffs and get him back healthy. Because, like I said, he to me was a huge difference maker, both in the passing game and a change of pace back, hitting the long runs, whereas Zeke was more of a grinder. So that's a big blow to them. And then, you know, obviously. And when you only score 21 points against a Giants football team, that Giants defense was depleted. They had guys out on COVID. They had a lot of guys out on that football game. To me, that was a perfect opportunity for the Cowboys offense to shine. So, yeah, you guys touched on it, and it's definitely a concern. And then as well as the defense played, you know, you got to give the defense a lot of credit. But that Giants offense, oh, man. We saw a lot of bad offensive football this past weekend in the NFL. I mean, I know COVID is hurt it, but, man, there was some bum bad
fights.
Offensive football in the National Football League this past weekend.
Bum
and
fight.
The Giants was one of them. Hey, my Saints, you know, I'm not just talking about anybody else. My Saints right there in the mix, too. Chuck, we couldn't get a first down in the second half. But anyway, that was a very, very bad offensive football team that Giants team was. On Sunday, but yeah, Micah Parsons, I love his versatility. We talked about it leading up to the draft, and now you're seeing it. He can rush the passer, he can drop in coverage, he can cover tight ends, he can cover running backs out of the backfield. He can rush the passer, he can drop and play zone. He can do a lot for you. Very versatile football player, definitely a keeper,
good player,
and definitely one of the better players in this draft as well, definitely from a defensive perspective. So, yeah,
that's going to be fun. That's going to be crazy. Because they're going to have to pay that dude, so who else are you not going to pay? Because Dallas is paying a whole bunch of dudes. They're going to have to pay that guy, Michael Parsons, here in a couple of years. Somebody's going to get cut or traded. That's all I'm going to say.
Trayvon Diggs, too. He's a second-round pick, so you know he's going to have to get a big deal, too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's interesting that, we're not – I know we can't – I can't talk junk either. I know me and Rob are kind of, sitting back here and good job to Bengals. And no, we're not. No, I'm just saying because Curtis said it earlier, like run the damn ball. And it was like a clinic, and what happened with us, man. Because if you have a team that can run the ball, you're going to do really well, man. So it just – I feel like we've been given the shaft, man. Somebody lied to us because, I still like Kyle Shanahan and what he did, man. Ever since – we're going to run the same offense. It's never been the same. Let's move on. Dude, I had to get my
little
shot
in there.
They put
Debo Samuel at running back in San Fran.
Right.
They ran all over, man. It was a disgrace. Hey, Rob, can you do – I know we're getting close to the end of the show. Can you do the fantasy shout-outs here? We're going to talk about a couple of predictions. It's crazy that there's 130 players on the COVID list, but I know when we get to that, we're going to get to a prediction.
Damn.
And then, just kind of talk about some, quick highlights for what's happening as far as NFL prospects too, Rob. Go ahead. Nuts.
All right, league number one, the biggest win in the week. It was Lions team. That's Casey from Detroit. His team beat Monsters of the Midway 120.38 to 85.72. And actually, my team's still in first place in that league, Death Valley at 10-4. In league number two, Hunk Smash. That's Chester from New Orleans. He had the biggest win of the week. 154.28 over Fleur de Lis, 96.68. JQ's team in first place, Ohio Players at 14-0. Number three, the Kings team, that's Julius from New Orleans. His team had the biggest win of the week, 145.58 over Al's Coleholics, 58.92. And Chester team's in first place, Kraken. At 14-0, and league number four, Williams team. That's Will from Madison, Wisconsin. This team had the biggest win of the week, 123.96 to Birds Flew South, 48.78.
That's it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hey. 48.78.
48?
Not 48.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. 48.78.
18 strong. That's Chester and Wallace's team in first place with a 10-4 record. And then in fantasy basketball, Andre's team, triple-double, had the biggest win of the week, 7-1 over Anthony Davis, the new 23. And then Ronald's team in New Orleans, St. Pelicans 23 in first place with a 57-24 record. Those are the fantasy shout-outs of the week as we're going into the semifinal rounds of the fantasy playoffs this weekend.
And that COVID is killing fantasy basketball. Oh, my God. That's so
man, everything. Killing everything.
I must got five players on my team that's got ING next to their name because of COVID.
I got like eight.
Oh, man.
It's not even cool anymore.
That's crazy.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that segue. Let's get to some predictions here. I know I definitely want to, Curtis and Gary to pipe in on the playoff picture here for the NFL. Curtis, Gary, we're not going to pick on you guys. And I know that, Curtis, you were a big fan of the Cardinals. And I don't know what's happening with the Cardinals right now, man. Just either Detroit's playing well or what the French show's happened to see that disparity.
They are playing well.
They are playing well. We like to talk about it. We're like, you thought that, okay, Cardinals, did you not get up for the game? Or, you kind of like went into that, like, what just happened? But you got to beat the teams in front of you, So, and not that the effort was kind of there kind of a little too late, if you will. But how does this kind of, like, change that playoff picture, Curtis, Gary, as far as that as well? So we've got 15 minutes on the show. As well, gentlemen. Go ahead.
I want to say, didn't we see this last year? Kyler Murray started off hot. Kingsbury started off hot. And they don't close it out. They got to look within inside themselves and figure out why they stayed at the end of the season. And they're getting ready to do that again. They're going to play the Colts, I believe, this weekend. And I think the Colts are more hungry, hungry team to go into the playoffs than they are. They're going down to Arizona, and I'm picking them to beat them. And that's just going to exacerbate the faith that Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury are doing. And it's baffling if you want to be an Arizona fan. Because they loaded up, and they do got a good team. But they got to convince themselves that they can be the best team in the NFL. And I don't think they can. And I think people got Kyler Murray trying to figure out Mighty Mouse is not going to be there.
Well, you know, I was shocked when
DeAndre Hopkins,
when we got the topic.
That part.
You know, when I was going over these with Curtis, you know, and when we got to the Arizona game, and he said he was going with the Colts, I'm like, Curtis, are you okay? Because he's been talking about Arizona, and I'm like, okay, I'm shocked, but I can't wait to hear what the guys have to say about Curtis going with. But he's true. You know what Curtis said was true with Arizona. You gotta know that. You gotta convince yourself somehow that you belong, you know, and you can win that division, and you can, you know, be a force in the playoffs. And somehow it seems like they're, you know, taking a different path. And as a Cowboy fan, I'm glad with that. I hope they don't revert back when you've got a plan.
Hold on, Rob. Hold on, JQ. Yeah. I was going to say, just to kind of answer Curtis, I think that the Cardinals, they're a young team, man. So I think that's kind of some challenges too. I mean, I know Robert mentioned losing DeAndre Hopkins was huge, but they're a young team too. I mean, you know, obviously they've had some early success, and teams are going to start to kind of figure out how to play them too, but they have to get through that adversity, I would say. You know, they got some veterans in there, but, you know, even Cliff Kingsbury is a young coach. Kyle Murray's kind of doing this thing too, so they're going to have to go through a couple of growing pains as well too. Go ahead, guys. I'll let you kind of piggyback on that, if you will.
Yeah, I like the coach here. I like the coach in that game too. I mean, I like for them to go on the road. The way Jonathan Taylor's running that Brock, he's in the MVP conversation now. I would have to still give it to Aaron Rodgers, but Jonathan Taylor has put himself in my book the third guy right now behind Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. The way he's running that rock, and the way that offensive line is blocking. I mean, if they can just keep Carson Wentz from doing something stupid or dumb, you know, I mean, they're going to be a tough team. And they're playing really good defense.
One quarterback.
I mean, their defense, I get a lot of credit, but they're playing really good defense, and they're running that rock, and that offensive line is opening up holes that that even the five of us can run through, right? And that's not taking anything away from Jonathan Taylor. So Taylor, once he gets to those holes, he's blown by people. I said this on last week's show. The Colts is going to be one of those teams in the playoffs not going to want to see. Yeah, they're going to be physical.
Sure.
They're going to run that rock down your throat. Taylor's going to be physical, and he's got the speed. And I said, they're playing pretty good defense. If they could just keep Carson Wentz from doing something dumb, they're going to be a tough out. I like for them to go on the road here. I think it's going to be a close game, though. I'm going to go 27-24, the Colts going on the road and winning this game by field goal.
I'm going to take the Cardinals, because if you can't bounce back after losing to the Lions and you're playing back at home, with everybody talking about how great Jonathan Taylor is, he's the MVP candidate coming into your building. If you are the Cardinals, if you don't put 9 men in the box and say, I know Michael Pittman's a good young player, but you're going to have to beat me with Michael Pittman and Carson Wentz. I mean, I like Zach Pascal, but does Zach Pascal strike fear in your heart as a defensive coordinator opposite of Michael Pittman? You know what I mean? Like, We're going to man up. We're going to play man up, and we're going to put 8-9 men in the box. We're going to say, Carson Wentz, if you beat us, hit my hat to you. God bless. I walk off the field. I shake your hand and say you won this game. What I'm not going to do is let Jonathan Taylor go for 150 yards on 22 carries and then catch another four balls for 36 yards for maybe additional touchdown. Like, you've seen the film on Carson Wentz. Make Carson Wentz beat you. I have no idea what's happening with these teams right now. I agree with you, John Taylor. It's me, a third behind those two guys in the MVP conversation. But if we're playing in my house with actually a generally solid defense outside of what the hell they had happening in Detroit, I don't know if they went to Eminem's restaurant and got sick like the Bengals did. But we're playing in our house. We got embarrassed by Detroit. It is statement time. If you are Arizona, you got to win that game. I'm going to go with Arizona, 8-9 men in the box. Carson Wentz, if you beat us, God bless, but I don't believe that you will. That's what would be if I was Arizona.
Good job, JQ. I love it. Bring in some heat and some fire, as always. Secretly, deep down, you heard it here on the show. I think that the Colts are a quarterback away, some way, somehow. That's a good fit for Matt Ryan to be over there because they need somebody smart. They need to run in the Falcons. He needs protection in a running game. That's the same thing.
I bust the shit out of Indianapolis if they had Matt Ryan as a quarterback. I don't care if they had Barry Sanders come back from the grave as their running back. If Matt Ryan was their quarterback, I would bust him to high heaven and let him beat me. Matt Ryan is not the answer. No.
He's not the answer.
Matt
Ryan
is not the answer. Sorry.
What I'm saying is that at least he has an offensive line. He needs protection. He needs a good offensive line.
So you're saying he's got a chance.
I'm saying that. I ain't saying Marvin second time. He's better than Carson Wentz, right? He's better than Carson Wentz, maybe?
He's also an old-ass quarterback, and I would put him to high heaven if I had him back there.
That's true, too. That's true, too. But at least they got a threat of a running game. At least they have an offensive line. All right, I'm going to get off that. That's just me. I'm not trying to get rid of
the Patriots. They beat the Patriots last week, and Carson Wentz only threw the ball for 57 yards. 5 out of 12.
57 damn yards.
That's nuts. Let's get in here. Let's get the Ravens at the Bengals here. Go ahead, JQ. We got to go quickly here. So what's on this one?
Come on, man.
You know what he's going to say.
We beat him once. We beat him once. We go beat him twice. What kind of statement is that?
I know. I was waiting for you to say that, man. They are walking wounded over there too, man. So there's no more trick plays, man, at the Ravens, right? They can shut it down. Statement game over. Hey, I'm gonna talk about the Bills at the Patriots. So the Bills, they've been kind of on a downspin ever since the Patriots ran for 200,000 times and three times. Are the Bills gonna get some revenge, or is it gonna be they've been waiting for this? They've been circling that date, Rob. Are they we could come back, or they could do it again? Watch Bill Belichick run even more. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, the one thing that encouraged me about the Bills this past week, we talked about it on the show quite a few times about the Bills' lack of a running game, but Devin Singletary ran pretty good this past week, and Carolina's got a pretty good front four. So if you're a Bills fan, that had to be somewhat encouraging. But I'm still going to pick the Patriots to win this game at home. I think it's going to be close. It's going to be close. I'm going to go 24-20. New England this game. I think Belichick put together a pretty good scheme, and they find a way to win this game in a close one, 24-20. And piggyback off JQ's Bengals, I like the Bengals in this game as well. Tyler Huntley, he fought for the Ravens this past week against the Packers. Had a phenomenal game. I didn't think that game was going to be close. I said on last week's show, I like Green Bay, and I think they can win it pretty handily. But Baltimore – John Harbaugh, one thing you can say about his team, they're going to fight hard. I think Cincinnati is the better team. And I know I've said on this show quite often, I don't think Baltimore is as good as their record. So I like Cincinnati. But they're going to fight hard, but I still don't think they're as good as their record. So I'm going to go with Cincinnati in this one, 27-17.
And the thing about that is Green Bay doesn't have that playing Baltimore twice a year, and you watch that game in the second half where they broke his game and let Huntley break outside, and Cincinnati's going to bring the same game plan they would do for Lamar Jackson for Huntley, And I don't know what Green Bay was doing in that second half. It's like, did you not look at the film or read any of the press? He's the same guy with a little bit better accuracy right now. But it's the same game plan. Like, you have to rush him, contain him the same way. If I'm Cincinnati, I'm defense coordinator, we have the same game plan no matter who they start because they're the same guy. So I agree with you on that. And, yeah, I got fooled before. And it's one of those things that – and so I see the bully knock off the Patriots multiple times. Like, the Patriots had a down year last year. We just have to give it back. But Mac Jones, for the most part, with that defense, has played good ball. They had a chance against Indianapolis, but Jonathan Taylor just iced that game at the end. So – I'm going to go with the Patriots again. I just am not really impressed with what you have with the Bills, and then you got that fool Cole Beasley. Now it's on the COVID list because he don't want to get vaccinated. I do like the Bills have kind of solidified that running back rotation. Zach Moss has been a healthy scratch the past 2 or 3 weeks, so they give it to Devin Singletary and Matt Breida. But I still feel like, you know, Bill Belichick versus a young quarterback, advantage Bill Belichick. I'm going to take the Patriots at home, especially after losing. And Bill Belichick went to the press conference and apologized for being short to the press. I said, oh, no. The thing that owns the Cincinnati, when he said owns the Cincinnati, I knew my Bengals was in trouble. The Bills should feel the same way.
Go ahead. I can't wait to hear Curtis and Gary on this.
I'm going with
the Ravens.
Cincinnati is going to have to prove it. A division game, a playoff spot. But I think Joe Burrow has that kind of moxie. So, and
finally.
Man, I think Joe Brady, I think he's got that kind of moxie. I think they're ready to fight for their right to be in the playoffs. And this is the day they have to do it. So I am going to pick Cincinnati. And I'm picking the Bills. I don't believe I am picking the Bills. I think the Bills are going up there.
I don't know, Curtis.
And I think
it'll
be them.
Okay.
Another prove-it game.
Did you say prison game? What did you say?
Well, and I'm going with the Bengals in this as well. I think they're a better team than the Ravens.
Say Q's happy.
And I'm also, I'm going with the Bills. And when the Bills beat them, and they beat them pretty good, I'm looking forward to the press conference. I want another apology.
Okay.
That's right. Screw them.
I love it.
Screw the Patriots. Oh, let's end on that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That is the end of our live portion tonight, talking sports with the 12th man. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Bakersfield, that's the Hattiesburg of California. That's the Hattiesburg, Mississippi, California. Bakersfield, California. 8 p.m. Don't miss it, Big Phil.
Come on, man.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Hang on. We got a guest here that wants to say something. Come around this way right here. Come around here.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
go ahead.
Go Raiders. Raiders all the way.
She's a Raiders fan.
Raiders?
Don't you feel sorry?
I'm sorry. We're so sorry. But Derek Carr, man.
Hey, I appreciate y'all for knocking out the Browns. Appreciate you, Raiders.
All right.
Viva Las Vegas.
I think
stand
the
up.
Are a great team.
It's quite. That's quite all right. No, it is what it is. Sometimes you just never know.
And Blazers too. The Blazers.
What, hold on. What was that?
Portland Blazers.
Okay. That's why Gary Clark brought you in. We see the whole plan, Gary. We saw what you're doing back there.
Yeah.
You had to like trick us with the Rangers and bring it back to
Blazers.
You
that
one in on
you. It was the Lakers. That's the Lakers all driving.
You guys
have
a
good
that's
one.
A hero there. That lady right here is a hero. She's one of Curtis's caregivers at night. Mm-hmm. She comes in and takes really good care of him. He's safe. Mm-hmm. You know, phenomenal lady.
Nice.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate the fight for sure. We didn't get a chance to since Rob was like clowning at the end of the show, we didn't get a chance to have JQ do his send off, if you will, because we're definitely in the OT portion. I know, like, I wanted to have a hard stop because we are flying out this morning, as a matter of fact. So we got a 3 o'clock call, and Rob has done this many times, so I'm not talking junk like that. Just more or less, that's just kind of knowing that we got to turn around pretty quickly here. You want to talk about the last?
You got a 3 a.m. wake up call.
Yeah, we got to leave. Yeah, we got to be at on because our plane is like it leaves at like 8, so we got to be there. You know, 7 boarding times, so we got to get there early and go through security and parking, and it's going to be a nightmare because Atlanta's pretty crazy. So you know how that plays out. But yeah, that's what's happening over here. But
damn,
I do want to kind of again,
get that clear pre-check.
Yeah. We're TSA, we're pre-checked, everything that. We're good. Just, you know.
Good.
Marcy, she has to get through because she's got, she had surgery on her foot, so she has to take a little more time. So it's just more or less make sure she's good and little things like that. But I know I do want to talk about the last two games if you can. We can wrap up that because, and Rob, the Bulls were insane, man. That's like a whole show in itself, man. I don't know. Can we get that in this Tuesday? Is that enough to kind of get in? Because I know we're going to miss one of these Bulls, but. That's another, like, and hell, we can do another show, whatever, because I think it'd be great to see guys. But just I'm just like, that's enough for one show, if you will, as JQ had mentioned. But Fort Dodgers playing the Titans and the Steelers at the Chiefs. I know we know who JQ's going to pick for the Steelers versus the Chiefs, but we can pick that game and then we can wrap this up because we already know what's happening right now. Go ahead, and you can call it. Go ahead, Rob. I'll start with you, man.
I'm going to pick the 49ers on the road against the Titans here. The 49ers are a hot team right now. Their defensive line is playing outstanding. Bosa is playing out of his world.
Killing it.
And then they're running the football. Garoppolo has been a really good game manager, not turning over the ball. Deebo Samuel is having an incredible year. George Kittle is healthy again now. I mentioned the Colts is a team you don't want to play in the AFC. I think the 49ers might be that team you don't want to play in the NFC right now because, I mean, they're playing lights out right now. So I expect them to fly across country and get this win. Titans still no Derrick Henry. Ryan Tannehill turning the ball over a lot here in recent weeks. I like the 49ers on the road in this game. The Chiefs, I like them to beat
the
Steelers.
They should win at Arrowhead,
I mean, they do got Travis Kelce what's the star wide receiver? That's a concern. From my understanding, both were vaccinated, so they could possibly still be back in time to play this Sunday, if that's true that they're both vaccinated. But that being said, that is the one concern for the Chiefs. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce both tested positive for COVID. And, the question is, will they be back in time to play? Then that could change things if they're not there. But right now I'm going to pick the Chiefs, assuming that they'll be back to play on this Sunday. As it's just Tuesday, they got time to come off of that list. So I like the 49ers on the road and Chiefs at home.
They got the Antonio Brown vaccination card.
Oh, boy.
No, I definitely like the 49ers because the damn Titans just blew it. They could have put the Steelers under the dirt, and they had 3 turnovers and 10 offensive possessions. And 10 offensive stats, not into offensive possessions, 10 stats, 3 turnovers. I was watching that game and said, come on, Tennessee, what in the hell? It was 13-3, and then you lost 3 turnovers and 10 snaps. I told you before, I just don't trust Ryan Tannehill. Once you have to convert a wide receiver to quarterback in college, I'm just going to always be real skeptical of that guy being that dude in the NFL. He might prove me wrong in 2 to 5 years. Without Derrick Henry, I'm not seeing enough. And I agree with you. If you want to identify two teams in both leagues that we just talked about, San Francisco is that team in the NFC because they're going to run the ball, and you know they're going to run the ball. And they're still going to be successful running the ball with dudes that you just bring up like, oh, hey, you healthy?
Jeff
Wilson. Oh, come over here and run the ball. Yeah, and they just run the ball down and through with that zone sprocket thing. It's stupid. Yeah, they got jet sweeps and fakes and all kind of dumb stuff. You need to do that. Boop, George Kittle. I'm going to take San Francisco as well. As much as it pains me right now, we've said that before in terms of people we thought being vaccinated would be cleared in time, and maybe they have another Tuesday game, depending on what happens with Kansas City, where they move in and give those guys more time. But when you tell me that, if you want to be honest, outside of Mahomes, Kelce, Hill on offense, and don't sleep, Harrison Butker, their kicker, who goes for crazy points, is also in the COVID protocol. If those three guys don't play, Kansas City in big trouble. I mean, you can say what you want to. You look at Butker and what he does every week for that Kansas City offense out of the low. When those drives stall, he still makes sure they get points. So they don't come away with zeros. Yeah. They come away with threes. And it's in the fourth quarter, those threes add up through the first and third quarter.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Pittsburgh for now just because of the unknown. When you tell me that Kansas City has 13 guys right now in protocol and Hill, Kelce, and Butker are three of those 13, I just have a hard time today picking Kansas City. Now, if we come back and have a conversation about it later in terms of people getting cleared, I can go to Kansas City, but right now I got to go to Pittsburgh. And I hate it. I need Pittsburgh to be dead, but they call a break, as Pittsburgh always does.
We need to record this show. JQ's picking the Steelers, damn it. That's never going to happen.
You got 13 dudes in protocol. Like, it's hard.
Even with that said, it just means that the game will be closer. But Curtis and I are still both picking the Chiefs on that over Pittsburgh. As far as the Tennessee and 49er game, since I hate the 49ers, I believe they're a hot team that I want them to kind of slow their roll, so I'm picking Tennessee. So I hope I put the whole Schaefer on this week. I'll have a 49er doll. I'll have my fingers and toes crossed. God. I'll have a 49er jersey to burn out in my yard if need be. I'm ready to put the full Schaefer jinx on them this week. And I know before I told
what did
you
they
that.
Do to you, man? So, what did 49ers do to you, man?
If
come
you
on,
need
bro.
To change
on,
your
man.
Picks now that you know I'm putting this jinx on them, you're more than welcome to. But I've wanted to told you now.
Hey. Ryan Tannehill just don't look the same without Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry makes him look like
quarterback 12.
A decent quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Derrick Tannehill is not the talent to carry a team. He's not. And they need Derrick Henry back yesterday. But, you know, that's the NFL. And that's too bad. But the West, the best division in football, I think the 49ers, Arizona, and the Rams are all going to be in the playoffs. They're going to have three of those four teams in the NFL NFC playoffs. And that's just a testament of what kind of football they're playing out here in the West. The other
can't
one.
Argue with that.
What was that?
What's the other one? The Pittsburgh.
The Chiefs.
Yeah,
well, the good news is Ben Roethlisberger has stopped doing comedy. At the beginning.
But Curtis is still doing it.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Ben was doing comedy at the beginning of the season. He stopped. But, I like Tomlin a lot. But I like Pat Mahomes Bobby a little better. And they're going to have fun beating up on Pistons. The Chiefs are just that team that I think are going to the Super Bowl. They got me convinced they're coming out of the AFC.
Well,
he got to have those weapons. That's all I'm saying. He got to have those weapons. His weapons are Gordon and Pringle. He in trouble.
The fact that he brought up Pringle was hilarious, man.
Pringle.
Pringle. I know. It's called. It's true. I got to say, gentlemen, as much as it's just – I cannot wait for next week to see what happens between the Bills and the Patriots because, again, if the Patriots win, it's going to be great to see what happens with Gary. I'm just – you know, again, Gary, you know, and if the Bills win, it's going to be even better, too, to see the press conference. But I just got to highlight that because, again, that's going to be something to cherish.
The one you really want to highlight is that 49er one. Let's see how powerful Mike Jinx really is.
I mean, I got family
that's
all
the one
in California.
You're
all 49ers fans. So, again, that's
I'm
still trying
Andre
to figure out
hoping
what's happening.
Andre is hoping that you would have put a Jinx on him this past week.
I don't even –
Andre
last week. It didn't
saying,
matter,
why you didn't put the Jinx on him this past week?
I had no confidence. I had no confidence in the Falcons beating the 49ers. I'm like, this is not even going to happen, man. So – and again, they lived up to my expectations wholeheartedly. So, but again, Kyle's going to run the ball, and he's going to run the ball, and he's going to run the ball. And that's exactly what he did.
they're a hot
Matt
football
Ryan's
team
like
right
a little
now.
Baby back there, she's like, we had an offensive line. It's just painful to watch to see somebody that knows how to run the ball and draft up a good running game with just average people, and we can't even freaking get out of our own way. But again, that's all good. That's
well,
why I'm not even whatever.
The thing you
got to
give the 49ers credit for, you know, they're running the ball with average people, but they're beating people in the trenches. Offensive line,
yeah.
Defensive line.
But it's the scheme.
They're
just but
beating
it's,
people
it's
in the trenches, and that's
front.
Where they're
yeah.
beating.
Mm-hmm. But, it, he, mm-hmm. but see, Kyle doesn't have a
yeah.
scheme, though. You know, as JQ said, he's going to jet sweep mm-hmm. you. He's going to toss sweep you. He's going to cut back zone. He knows how to scheme that. That
mm-hmm.
That's from Mike Shanahan
mm-hmm.
back in the day.
Yep.
Even Alex gives you know, rest in peace. He knows how to scheme, and then
mm-hmm.
those plays that you know that he was running those little quick Jimmy Garoppolo little and then Kittle, mm-hmm. he's gonna make titles look great. He knows how to do that, man. He knows how to scheme guys
yep.
open. So that's what I
oh,
know.
Yeah.
Whenever he was coach, I didn't worry about offensively at all. And now I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I don't even know.
Oh yeah,
you know, because you got to run the ball.
Oh,
you got to run the ball. It's just,
they can pull Wilson Calderon out of the stands, and he's gonna come in and score touchdowns. For that
they can pull
that
they
have.
They can.
Right.
Matthew, Rob, Curtis,
mm-hmm.
Gary, we could all get yards with that San Francisco. That's how great you know that offense is, man.
Mm-hmm.
You can just
Got
run
it.
It. One cut. You
let's
can
not,
go. You
let's
get,
not, that's how you carry the
weight. You can get yards, JQ. You can,
no,
go.
I can't.
You can fall forward and
no,
get like five
no.
yards, man.
Mm-mm.
No, you can
no
fall
the hell
forward,
I can't.
Man.
I'm gonna be
the
blue tin after one carry like this.
So I said you'd be successful, but you can get 5 yards, bro. You can get some yards, man. I'm just saying, man. One cut and go, man. He's gonna scheme something open for you. Hey, just follow that run back, boom. That's all I'm gonna say. Hey, gentlemen, I do want to say, you know, as we're wrapping up, I want you guys to have a very happy holidays, very happy Kwanzaa, very happy Hanukkah. And a very happy Festivus for the rest of us, man. So all of those are taken care of, if you will, you know, just to make sure we're covered all the bases, man. Please be safe, guys, as always. I know you got kids and all that fun stuff, too. And we didn't get a chance to do what we want to do, but, you know, we're thankful for another opportunity and just to kind of make sure that you guys are safe and your families, okay? So I want to make sure I got that out there for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Merry Christmas to all of you all. Yep. Merry Christmas. Enjoy
Thank
your time
you. We appreciate you guys. And, you know, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever you're doing, I want you to be safe and enjoy yourselves. And, you know, Rob, be responsible this year, okay? All right?
Uh-oh.
Rob, stop eating.
Rob's Christmas is like 70 degrees
minimum,
over there.
Okay?
Yeah, that is focused. On this travel, you know, be safe and don't get in a fight with nobody on those airplanes. And
please don't get into a fight.
in at all. Come on.
What are you mad?
Folks getting mad.
Hey,
short tempers.
You're going to be a little too tired to be fighting people on an airline over the dumbest stuff.
Don't be kicking people like Urban Meyer. Don't do it, man.
Hey, let me tell y'all something. Y'all better get down with that Manny Fresh and Juvenile song. Everybody put your mask on. What? Everybody
okay, I'm good.
Hey,
okay.
What? Everybody put your mask on.
And no women.
End it, bro. End it, JQ.
And no women.
It's over. I love y'all. Everybody listen to the show. You download it. You guys have a Merry Christmas. If you don't join us next week for New Year's, have a blessed New Year's. Be safe. Ubers, stay home. Whatever you need to do, just don't go to jail. We love you. We'll talk to you next week. If not next week, we see you in 2022.
Everybody put your mask on. Make it feel Hattiesburg. Stand up.
Good night, fellas. I'm out. I can't. Good night,
all right,
fellas.
Y'all. Hey, Drake, be safe, bro.